ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयो मदीरये नस्तप्रेष्वपदेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भागवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, chapter 28, text 27. Anantapare tamasi, anantapare tamasi, magno nasta smriti sama. Magno nasta smriti sama sasvatir anubhuyartim sasvatir anubhuyartim pramada sangha dushita pramada sangha dushita Ananta pare tamasi magno nasta smritir sama sasvatir anubhayartam bhayartim bhuyartim pramara sangha dushtita Ananta pare tamasi magno nasta smriti sama sasvatir anubhuyartim pramara sangha dushtita. Ananta pare tamasi. Ladies, Anantapare, unlimited, expanded, unlimitedly expanded, excuse me. Tamasi, in the material existence of darkness. Magna, being merged. Nasta smriti, bereft of all intelligence. Sama, for many years. Shashvatai, practically eternally. Anubhuya, experiencing. Atrim, the threefold miseries. Pramada, of women. Sangha, by association, dusita, being contaminated. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Paranjan eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance, for many, many years. Repeating the verse, due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Paranjan eternally suffers from the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a description of material existence. Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna, Nasta Smriti. In this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers threefold miseries of material existence. To save human civilization from darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. I'll read that again. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and to remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. In this way, the living entity can be saved from the catastrophe of ignorance as well as bodily transmigration. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Anadi karmam phale, karma phale, pari bhavana vav chale, tari bare na deki upaya, avishaya hala hale, divanishi haya javali, mana kabu, sukha nahi paya. Because of my past fruitive activities, I have now fallen into an ocean of nescience. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly, day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. The lament of the householder, so involved. Material existence is always full of anxiety. People are always trying to find many ways to mitigate anxiety. But because they are not guided by a real leader, they try to forget material anxiety through drink and sex indulgence. Foolish people do not know that by attempting to escape anxiety by drink and sex, they simply increase their duration of material life. It is not possible to escape material anxiety in this way. The word pramada sangha dushita indicates that apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's miserable material existence. Consequently, in Vedic civilization, one is trained in the beginning to give up attachment for women. The first stage of life is brahmachari, the second stage grihastha, the third stage vanaprastha, and the fourth stage sannyas. All these stages are devised to enable one to detach himself from the association of women. Om Agnati Mirandasha Agnanjana Shalakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, whether one is a grihastha or a brahmachari, the solution for him is the same. Whether one is attached to women or supposedly free from women, not directly attached, but maybe always thinking like that. Either way, this chanting of the holy names frees one from all attachment, from all material attachment, from wine, women, song, etc. We have here, Purnapragya is here today. Purnapragya remembers me perhaps from Tallahassee many, many years ago. He saw me come to the temple in a very degraded state, but he and the other devotees were extremely patient, and somehow or other a slight transformation has occurred. It's rather amazing here to be giving class in front of a devotee who helped you become a devotee. It's a bit embarrassing in a sense, because he knew me when. I can only tell you these things. You may not believe what I say, but he knew, he saw. So like this, but very humbly, he's allowed me to give the class today, and tomorrow he'll give the class. So we're struggling, all of us, with this business of attachment to women, to sex life, to enjoying. This is the envious nature of our existence here. We are envious people. We have come to the material world as a result of our envy of Krishna. So we want to enjoy like Krishna here. So we take on our Radharani, or we take on our Krishna. The women, this verse is speaking about attachment to women, but for the women also attachment to a man is the same. Doesn't matter. So we take on our enjoying partner and pretend to be God and goddess like this. But this is a great mistake. And no one is knowing that it's a great mistake. Everyone is encouraging like crazy. Please, you take wife. You must take wife. You're a young man. You must take wife. You must have some attachment. You must produce children, grandchildren for us. Although we're going to die in a few years, we want to see. Their idea is so, this is the idea also in Judaism, that the life air is in the blood. So if the blood is procreated and it goes on, then you can become eternal in that way. I don't know how they can come to such a conclusion. But we're having a much more subtle and transcendental an understanding about the nature of the living entity. That living entities come into these bodies as a result of their previous karma and their desires. And that they are individual spirit souls, not a continuation of the grandparents or the great-grandparents or even the parents. It's not a continuation like that. There may appear some similarities. The faces may look the same. Sometimes the same occupation is pursued and so forth. But the living entity is an individual, and he has a right, a constitutional right, to take up again his relationship with the Supreme Lord, his real father, his real parent. And that is our objective in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada states it so clearly here. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness, his original relationship with Krishna. This is our objective individually and as a group. We don't have any political agenda. We don't want to take control of the city or the country like this. This is not our objective. Our objective is to present Krishna consciousness to everyone we meet and show him how to get free from this material bondage. This material bondage is so heavy, everyone is suffering here. Everyone is full of anxiety. How will I eat? How will I work? You see people working so hard. Why? Because they're afraid. If I don't work, there'll be no money. I'll have no house. I'll have no place to live. I'll be in great, great difficulty. I'll be embarrassed. My family will be unhappy. They'll be disturbed like this. When people get married, they choose someone of the equal status. Beggars choose beggars, and wealthy people, they choose wealthy, you know, persons for their mating of their children, like this. Everyone is anxious to see, well, is he in the same bracket? Is he the same kind of person as myself? But like this, These questions are not important. These things are so secondary. Hare Krishna, all glories to the Lord Shri. We follow these routines and regulations or traditions in order to create a peaceful society. Obviously, if a beggar marries a multimillionaire, then there'd be some difficulty. It can be some difficulty. One will not know how to spend. One will know be disturbed by the perhaps the dirty habits, etc. Sometimes some initial amour, love, attraction is there. But then after a time, people start to hanker for something more comfortable, something more homely, something more like what they were born into. They want a wife like their mother. Ultimately, that's what it amounts to. But this attachment to a good wife or bad wife, this attachment to friends, family, country, these things are causing so much anxiety in the world today. Attachment even to religion, so many different types of religion. If you look at the Muslim world, they have two different branches of their religion, and they're fighting like crazy, bombing each other, blowing up each other's children like this. Why? In the Christian country of Ireland, they're doing the same thing, the Catholics and the Protestants. Why? What is the real difference? They claim, the Catholics claim, well, we're being persecuted by the Protestants. The Protestants are in control and they're persecuting us. But who is stopping them from having a decent business and so forth? Of course, we cannot understand these things. They go into great detail and depth. Someone is vengeful. Someone has killed his family members. I talked once with a Muslim man. I had little friendship acquaintance with him. And I said, why can't people just stop? Stop this fighting, stop this hating. You know, why do you have to perpetuate it? They bomb you, you bomb them. They bomb you, you bomb them. Back and forth it goes. Why don't you just stop it? He said, because they killed our families. So in the name of the family, this war is perpetuated eternally. In the name of a family attachment, persons you practically don't know. I have some brothers I've seen occasionally, but I haven't, I don't know them, what I know about them is not very wonderful because they're not Krishna conscious. They're just simply watching TV, going to work, smoking dope, like that. It's very sad. You cannot sometimes preach to family members so successfully. Sometimes they know you also. They know you when you were back in the old days and so forth, and you did these horrible things too. So like this, we're trying to find an association. We're naturally attached. Living entities are naturally attached. So we're trying to find an association that we can be attached to that will benefit us spiritually. So last month, practically, I've been living in the Brahmachari Ashram. It's so nice. It's so very nice. And I can see all one requires is a little locker for some personal items, and that's it. You know, it's actually very beautiful up there. You walk up in the hallway, and all the dhotis are flowing, different colors of saffron, like a Chinese movie or something. Very beautiful. And everyone is mellow, pretty much, most of the time. If anyone gets a little agitated and starts to talk loud, immediately a big crowd forms. What is going on here? And the solution is found very quickly. It's a very, very blissful life. When you're married, the wife is constantly with this. You know, my wife is calling me from Mayapur. What about this? What about that? I don't care. But like this, there's still attachment. Still always there's attachment. So coming to the point of sannyas is a challenge. When Bhakti Vikash was here, he said, when are you taking sannyas? So I decided to challenge. I said, I went to his room. I said, are you giving sannyas? No. He said, no. Because it's a great responsibility. And devotees asked once Jayananda. Jayananda was a great devotee in Prabhupada's time. The disciple of Prabhupada, he helped to published the Krishna book, Prabhupada recognized him as the first Sankirtan devotee because he gave his life savings to Prabhupada to publish the Krishna book. And so he was the first book distributor, Prabhupada said. So Jayananda could have taken sannyasa at any time. He was recognized by the devotees. He could walk into a room. I remember one morning it was a Mangal Arati, or greeting of the deities, and the deities opened. This was New York Temple. It was a very large space, like this, as big as this, and the deities opened. And then everyone looked at the deities, and then all of a sudden, everyone turned, their heads just turned to see, and Jayananda was there. Usually he was working on the Roth carts. He was not usually coming to the program all the time, but so devoted to Lord Jagannath making these Roth carts. So he was there in the room, and everyone just, Jayananda's here. You know, everyone started to turn to see. This person was effulgent. It's really amazing. So like this, when Jayananda was asked, well, why don't you take sannyas? One devotee asked him, he said, oh, sannyas. He said, that's a very serious position. He did not feel himself. His humility was what would melt stones in the hearts of so many people. And New Yorkers are very tough, but they love Jayananda. But his humility would melt stones. Incredible. At any rate, the attachment should be there to becoming Krishna's servant, to being associated with those who are Krishna's servants, and not to dally with on the fringe, or even wholeheartedly, or even just occasionally, not to dally with the attachment for the opposite sex. In the Vedic culture, the women, the families, they all live together in one big house, and the women live in one area, and the men live in the other. They come together to beget children, and the rest of the time they have pretty much a separation. It's not a big thing, because the patriarch is controlling everything. He's metering out the money. Everyone, all the sons come and give the money to the father, so he meters out the money according to the need, you know, according to the need of the different sons. So it's very simple, very simple. There's no big showing off. My wife has this, your wife only has that. You know, it's no big showing off. Simply what is needed, what is necessary. In this way, families become wealthy because they're not involved with frivolous things. Today, everyone is involved with some frivolity. You know, just computers and so many things are there to attach the mind to. Young men are talking about this computer, that computer. Every 6 months they come out with some new thing, and you must spend your money on this gadget that you hold in your hand. So bizarre. So these attachments, there are different attachments in the material world, and we must see beyond them. We must not be suckered in, as they say. In America, it's a very difficult thing. So many people are becoming consumers. So many devotees are becoming like consumers. Their concern is to keep up with the Joneses, to get the nice car, the latest computer, this, that, and the other. And it's a frightening thing. But here, please don't go in that direction of my country. Don't go in that direction. Please avoid it. You keep your life very simple. You'll be very, very happy you did. I was thinking that I would speak a little bit about Vraha today. Vraha is the appearance day of Vraha. Is that right? Am I right, or is it Vamana? One or the other. Okay, it's Vraha. So Vraha is the boar incarnation. So the pig, he's a very a generous animal sometimes, but he's also very ferocious. When I was a young man in high school, I lived in a part of the country that had some wild forests around it, very, very wild forests. And the young men, some of the young men would go, and they would have these very high-powered rifles, and they would go and try to hunt the boar. And they would be talking about this constantly, all through the school day, in the hallways and so forth. Oh, you're going hunting? Oh, yes. Big macho thing, very big masculine trip to go hunting, and try to get a boar. And these boars, these wild boars, would run through the forest. They have teeth that come down like this and teeth that go up like this. And if they catch you, you're dead. They'll tear you apart. They'll tear your leg off in a few seconds, practically speaking. Very, very strong tusks. And you think of most of these animals are like, you know, vegetarians, like the cow, but the boar is not. He will eat a human being every bit. He will chew up the bones. There'll be nothing left. Nothing left of the living entity that the boar gets a hold of. So at any rate, the boar is a very, very dangerous animal. At any rate, Jaya and Vijaya were cursed, and they came as demons, and their business was to display a great, deep envy of the Lord. They were very envious of Krishna, of Lord Vishnu. And this envy is an example, their demonstration of this envy and their desire to control and their lust to control and their conquering over whole universe and so forth. This is a symptom. This is a material disease. I asked Prabhupada once personally, I said, why am I so envious? And he said, this is the material disease. So anyone in this room, anyone that's a living entity, practically the mosquitoes, the birds, the pigeons, and so forth, all of us, we're very envious. And this is our disease, and we have to cure it. So our society is meant to cure it. This Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the cure. But you must take the cure very sincerely and knowledgeably. You can't just chant and expect, okay, this will happen, I'm just going to do whatever I want, and I can chant and my envy will be cured. One actually has to make some effort. I was talking, Bhima was speaking yesterday about politics and how politics destroys so many different things. If there's politics in the family, if one brother is working with the parents against the other brothers and so forth, then this is very untasteful, distasteful. I was talking with another devotee, Jagajivan, who was here visiting just for the morning. And we were talking about the nature of this place and that place and the society. And he said, it's very difficult in South America. There's so much envy. Anytime you start to do something, some group comes along and they start to make some problem. And this is the groups of devotees within the society, because they foster an envious heart. They find fault with another devotee, and then they pursue this finding of fault, and they take it to the congregational members, and they get petitions signed and so forth. And in the course of doing this, they lose all contact with reality, and they start to make up lies and stories about the leaders in order to get them overthrown so that they can become the leader, they can become the big man. This is the problem. And this is everywhere. You see this sometimes, someone will make a concerted effort to oust someone from their position. But sometimes it will just be this, the thing that developed in this country, non-cooperation. You just won't cooperate. Stay and eat and sleep and so forth and criticize, but not cooperate with the objectives. So this is a result of our envy, and we should watch very carefully that we're in this society to cure that disease, not to cultivate it. So one has to be very circumspect. He has to recognize, what am I doing in my life? Jaya and Vijaya come at the behest of the Supreme Lord to take part in these activities, because the Lord likes to fight sometimes. But they perfectly exemplify the envious nature of the living entity. So it's an act, we can say it's an act. Well, Jaya and Vijaya, they're pure devotees, they're from Vaikuntha. How they come to this position of being so envious and acting in such an envious way and fighting with the Lord personally. They had to concentrate on that, actually. When I was making this film, working on, there was one actress, a very professional actress, and I noted that she was very concentrating all the time on her role. Whenever we were not shooting, whenever we were not filming exactly, still she was very grave and concentrating on the person that she was to be in this role. Not frivolous, not distracted, but always concentrating. So like that, Jai and Vijay, they concentrated 24/7, all the time. How do I act envious? How can I become envious? And they cultivated this at Krishna's request. So why did Krishna want someone to come here and destroy worlds, destroy civilizations, kill Brahmins, etc.? Why would Krishna want that? This is a play. This whole world is a play. And if we identify with the body, then we miss that point. If we understand that we're spirit souls and we're moving out of this material realm, that's our objective, to move out of the material realm, move out of the material body, then the body is not consequential to us. It can be destroyed, but it's of no consequence to the real self, because that's not us. So like this, knowing this, Jai and Vijay were able to do this, and they were able to act in a way envy, but not be actually envious. It's amazing how they presented their pastime. It's totally amazing. So at any rate, we're stuck here in this material world trying to better ourselves, trying to make ourselves more Krishna conscious. And how do we go about that? Well, for us, the objective is to act like devotees. How do devotees act? They're very tolerant, they're very humble. They don't try to start revolutions and make politics. And so this is the qualities of the devotee, that they retract the senses. When the senses are in an agitated condition, you know, either by some sense gratification or by some disturbance, they retract those senses. They go within. They take pleasure from within, and they give pleasure from that position too. They give it to others. The counseling of a pure devotee can thwart our mistaken idea. The idea, of course, is Krishna gives the idea very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that how is this envy coming about? This lust is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world, and from lust, what develops? Huh? Attachment. And from that? Anger. Anger. So when anger develops, what happens? Bewilderment of memory. So then we forget who is our real well-wisher. Someone may be helping us to come to Krishna consciousness and trying to plan and create Krishna conscious activities. But if we work against that person in small ways or big ways, then we can really thwart our Krishna conscious advancement. Our objective here is to personally become God conscious, personally become pure and God conscious, and also as a movement in concern for each other, our objective is to become God conscious and help others become God conscious. And there isn't any other objective. Trying to see Krishna's arrangement in circumstances that we don't like or that we feel are adverse is very, very important for one's development in a mature Krishna consciousness. It's very important. Just like the idea is there, Jai and Vijay. Okay, they killed so many Brahmins and they created so much havoc. In our recent times, we have different people like Hitler. All right, Hitler was a vegetarian. Actually, he used to preach vegetarianism to all his generals and so forth, constantly talking about it. But here he was responsible for starting a world war, killing so many people, creating so much havoc and so forth. So we wonder, how is it that someone who could be a little bit pure, just a little bit pure, he's not killing the cow like this, how is it that such a person could do so many bad things? Well, again, it's like Krishna's arrangement. It's like Jai and Vijay. Krishna arranges these things because people have committed offenses, they have bad karma, and they have to be annihilated. Krishna's killing everyone, whether he kills them at the hands of some revolutionary in Africa, he takes a machete and cuts off the head. He's killing everyone, whether he kills them with malaria or he kills them in an airplane crash or railroad crash. Krishna's killing everyone. Tsunami. He kills a lot sometimes all at once, but he is killing everyone. He's killing you and me. He's given us old age, you know, at least me, he's given old age at this point. and it's going to kill me. So like this is just a warning to us. If you're Krishna conscious, you see, okay, this is my karmic reality. I'm not going to live to be 300 or 400 years old, and I'm not going to enjoy sensuality all the time and so on. My karmic reality is that I have to become serious about Krishna consciousness in order to get out of my karmic reality. My karmic reality is that I'm going to suffer. But this could be the last time that I have to do this, go through this suffering. I don't have to go on and on repeatedly, birth after birth. And by festering attachment is there for women and for this, that, and the other, but attachment is also there for control. When we want to control things, when we become very anxious about controlling things, what happens? It's another attachment. And out of that attachment comes so much frustration. Even people who become very, very successful, like Hitler was very successful. But in the end, he was completely frustrated. So what did he do at the end? Did he take responsibility? I've done a terrible thing. He said, no. He blamed it all on the German people. One of his last statements is, the German people are all responsible for this. It's their fault that this war has ended so badly. He didn't take the responsibility of a leader, because his attachment to was to his false ego as being a grand person, a wonderful person. But he could not maintain that false ego in the face of his imminent defeat. So like this, we don't want to maintain a false ego that I'm a wonderful person, I'm a dashing young man and so forth, in the face of advancing old age and defeat, the defeat of this body. We want to understand ourselves as spirit soul and go back to Godhead as spirit soul and understand what is our real identity in the material world, what is our real identity in relationship to Krishna. Those are our objectives. Not to create within the scope of ISKCON politics and factions. In America today, there's so many factions in the government. Of course, they're all controlled by one thing, by money. All these factions are controlled by money. So their objective, their different objectives, has created what they call gridlock. Nothing can go on. Nothing can be done. One group blocks the other group all the time. So like that, we don't want ISKCON to become gridlocked. And this is what happens when people play politics, is that nothing happens. Everything freezes. Everything becomes a contest about who is in control, who's in charge. And people forget the real business of chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here you're very fortunate. I see leaders who chant with the devotees every morning. They're undergoing the same purification. So like that, don't be that kind of person that goes off and starts this rumor, that rumor. We need this, we need that. We don't need him, we don't need her. Don't be that person. Be someone who is sincerely humble and wants to serve Krishna in such an extraordinary way, such a special way, that Krishna will be pleased with him. That's our real objective. Nothing else is of any importance or any consequence. When one has the right mood, Krishna works through him. There's no question about that. Krishna will work through you. So our business is to reach Vaikuntha, a place of no anxiety. In this world, Prabhupada said, is Kunta, a place full of anxiety. So recognize what we're doing, getting out of here. This is the exit philosophy. We don't want to stay here. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Jay. Hare Krishna, yes.
Hare Krishna, thinking that I am an American, I am an Indian, I am a man and all that amounts to material designation, correct?
Those are designations, yes.
Yeah. But suppose one thinks that he is devotee of Krishna, devotee, is that also material designation? Suppose I say I am devotee of Krishna.
Depends on your attitude. You know, if I'm a devotee of Krishna, you should get out of my way, then that's a material mentality. But if I'm a devotee of Krishna, I should be humble. I should make room for everyone else and make sure everyone else is happy and satisfied. then that's a devotional attitude. It's not the word. I'm a devotee. What am I devoted to? You know? Everyone's a devotee of something. His family, his friends, his false ego. Or are you a devotee of Krishna? So devotee is not, that's not so much a descriptive word, you know, in some respects. Depending, we use it to say, okay, he's a devotee. That means we know that means we think he's a devotee of Krishna. But in reality, he may be a devotee of something else, you know. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada, I have one question. This boar incarnation appears two times. One in white color, one in red color. So when he comes in red color, he picks up the earth and kills Hiranyaksha. And again he comes in white, that time there is no Hiranyaksha, so he just picks up the earth. So I just wanted to know, what was the reason on the first time of earth falling in the Garbhoshan?
The first time the earth fell, I was given to understand that it was the oil production, that oil was being taken out of the earth and it made it unbalanced. And I'm not sure if that's the first or second time, to tell you the truth, but that's what I was told. I was reading something on the news yesterday. We had this big oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico last year. You remember? They were trying to pump oil and they broke a pipe and it just kept pouring out and pouring out. Well, actually, that's happening all the time, everywhere. There's hundreds of oil spills all over the world, in the Mediterranean Sea, in the North Sea, and all these places. This is happening all the time. So this world is becoming more and more contaminated. Whether or not it will leave its orbit and go into, you know, fall into the Garbhodak Ocean again, I don't know. But this is no place for a gentleman. We've got to get out of here. You know, it's like, if the boat is sinking today, you know, when they had the Titanic, they didn't have enough lifeboats for everyone. So everyone was very scandal. Didn't have any lifeboats for the third class passengers. They just let all these people who were paid little fare, you know. But now they have lifeboats for everyone. So let's get into the lifeboat, Lord Chaitanya's lifeboat, and sail away. This is the ship that Prabhupada is offering us to get on. And not stay here. It's just such a bad place. You know? So amazing. Hare Krishna. No other comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant and be happier. Hare Krishna. Jaya.